going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We are less than 24 hours away from the NFL draft. Unfortunately, the Falcons pick at 15, so we're going to have to sit there for a minute. But the top of this draft is going to be very, very exciting. And again, I want to remind you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of the most complete draft coverage.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
In Atlanta. Join us starting tomorrow at 7. Mike Conti, Wes Drewham, and Arch take you through the first round live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Stay with us all weekend long. Pick-by-pick coverage and late-night rap shows. Hey, I'm doing one of those tomorrow night, 11 to 2, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's all brought to you by your local Honda dealers and by Window Nation. Buy 4 windows, get 4 free. The NFL Draft starting tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And with that, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in the latest in our conga line of guests in our NFL Draft blowout special here. Sam Brookhouse, he is with Sumer Sports Draft Analyst. Sam, appreciate the time. Let's start here. I think everybody assumes Cam Ward is a lock to go number one. So if that is the case, What are his prospects as an NFL player in year one with a rebuilding Titans team?
It's a great question. He seems to be a lock to be number one. The only way I can see him not is if there's some type of godfather offer to get number one. And here's why the Titans should consider it. When you look at the data, and this was a heavy research topic for me last year, if you select a quarterback with the first pick, the expected value, we're just talking averages here, is Justin Fields, around a player who makes $10 to $20 million. So a lot lower than you would really suspect, given how much people get excited about the draft and such. But you know, Justin Fields has started a lot of games. So not the bottom of the barrel, but that is the expected value. And even so, I think it may be even a little depressed from there, because based on the consensus, Cam Ward is probably the 10th to 15th best player in this draft. A lot of people said that he would have been quarterback 4 or 5 last year. And so I think you go ahead, if you're the Tennessee Titans, select a quarterback, a lot more positional value there. But at the same time, it does not come without some pretty substantial questions.
All right. So we all know the talk of the draft has been Shedeur Sanders. We saw on ESPN Bet today, he was somewhere in the 9 range, dropped all the way past number 20 to 21 expected draft average, with Pittsburgh being there. Where do you have him ranked, and what do you make of all the hype and hoopla surrounding this selection?
So, like I said, a lot of positional value concerns of quarterbacks at the top, especially given the Browns are sitting there with Kenny Pickett as their best quarterback on the roster. And the Giants have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, who have been given up by the following coaches: Sean Payton, Kevin Stefanski, Pete Carroll. All those guys are like Super Bowl winners. Mike Tomlin, Coach of the Year guys. Not a lot of trust in those two. I think the Giants and the Browns still need a quarterback. I personally look at the consensus as a data scientist. He's sitting at about 20, about 10 spots behind Cam Ward. That indicates to me that he's probably in the same, what we like to call green grade, probably going to be a starter at some point in the league, but we don't know how good he's going to be as Cam Ward. But here is what I missed. Earlier on, I was so focused on the positional value, I thought that he could go 1, 2, or 3. What I didn't realize was, after free agency, I think a lot of these teams are going to be betting on their availability models, which is something that all the teams have pick by pick. They're looking at the probability that a player will be available at their next pick. Considering the Browns have 33, I think there's 3 to 4 spots, unless some wild trades occur, in which Shador, or any quarterback too for that matter, could be selected. That's probably 2 and 3, which it seems like that's going to be Travis Hunter, the cornerback wide receiver, can do it all from Colorado. Abdul Carter, maybe at 3, edge rusher out of Penn State. So 2, 3, 9, it seems like the Saints don't necessarily love Shedeur Sanders. The odds aren't turning his favor. And 21, the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's really only 4 spots of teams that really are targeting a quarterback. I think the Browns and the Giants in particular are going to be betting on their availability models. And I really could see it happening if he drops to 33 and the Browns end up selecting him there.
Talking to Sam Brookhouse of Sumer Sports here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, when it comes to Carter and Hunter, if you had the ability, if you were sitting there at number 2 and you could pick between them, which one would you choose and why?
I would go with Travis Hunter. And in fact, I'd venture to say he's the only blue chip player in this draft. I have questions about Abdul Carter. I have questions about his size. And I have questions on whether or not he can play the run at the next level. We're talking about Travis Hunter. Here is a guy who can really do it all. Sumer scores. He was top in receiving, and he was top in pass defense. You don't see that all the time. He's a one-of-one player. I think you got to take Travis Hunter at 2.
All right. In your opinion, who is the 3rd best quarterback in this draft?
So now this is where it starts getting interesting. You look at a guy like Jackson Dart. In our Sumer scores, which look at every millisecond of film, the computer looks at it, the computer gives us a couple of key metrics. The guy is immensely productive, and he's immensely productive on the ground too. The problems, which you can go look at on sumersports.com, we have a draft guide with advanced analytics you can't find anywhere else, and they are broken down like the scouts and the general managers break them down with those blue and green grades that I was referencing. He's First read and dart. That's my slogan when it comes to him. He's going to hit the first read, and he's going to try to scramble after that. One of the highest scramble rates in the NCAA last year. Jalen Milroe, not a great passing season. A lot changed last year with Kalen DeBoer coming in. But, man, he's an athlete, and he is an excellent rusher. It shows up in the numbers. It shows up in the scouting reports. I think it's between those two guys. Jalen Milroe, if you want high athletic upside, and Jackson Dart, if you value production a little bit more.
All right. So here in Atlanta, the overwhelming consensus is we need help on our defensive line, whether that's, you know, a big guy in the interior that can get to the quarterback or somebody that's going to play the edge or even stand up on the outside. Where and how far apart do you have ranked the following players that we have been hearing have been linked potentially to Atlanta? Mykel Williams, Jalen Walker, Mike Green, Shamar Stewart, James Pierce Jr.
So I think you make an excellent highlight. And as data scientists, we have what we call the position prediction problem, which is we're not really great at parsing out when guys are clustered up, like you just mentioned, at figuring out who will be the best. But here's a couple of key notes coming out of the data that may indicate the direction to go. Mykel Williams, excellent tackle for loss rate. He probably has a high upside as a run defender. Shamar Stewart, a lot of positional versatility, played the 4-eye, not a lot of production, not a lot of sacks or tackles for losses, but he has excellent frame-by-frame, millisecond-by-millisecond grade. It indicates to me that he can fill gaps and play a role on a defensive line. He's probably going to be more of an interior player than an edge rusher at the next level, though. Talking about some other guys, Mike Green, blue chip grades when we're talking about production, but he did it at Marshall. That's a big question. And the one I like the most, and I feel like I'm saying this about to every team who needs an edge rusher, because there's probably seven or eight. James Pierce was a certified top five, top 10 guy coming out of the season and coming out of last season. Seems like he's dropped due to some character concerns, which, look, I'm a data scientist. There's not a ton of correlations that we can draw from character concerns. It comes down to the general managers who have built locker rooms and coaches who have built teams before to evaluate that. It's tough for us to do it. But when you just look at the data, James Pierce is a gem. Excellent production, excellent pass rusher, character concerns to the side. I think if you can control him, you can get him in the right system, he could end up being a blue chip player as he was slated to be at the end of the year.
Are you on the running back hype train here with the resurgence of guys like Genty and the back from North Carolina, Hampton, that could be both potentially first round picks now? Because it seemed like for a while it was not in vogue. We did it here in Atlanta. The Giants did it with Saquon Barkley. But taking a running back high in the draft may be coming back around. What do you think?
I am not. If a general manager was to ask me what the data said, I would not recommend that you draft a running back. There's one very key reason. If you draft a running back in the first round, you are allotting a pretty high contract value as compared to the rest of the running backs in the league. You are basically telling that guy, I need you to be a top five or top 10 player. And that's difficult to say in the draft when typically expected values for any given position player is about a second string guy or a running back two or something like that. It's really difficult for me to say that any of these guys, just distributionally based, will be an excellent standout player. It's worked out for Bijan Robinson, but we've seen it fail many, many times before. I would not recommend drafting a running back in the first round. And moreover, I would not really draft a running back in the second or third round because this running back class is deep. You can get excellent guys who were immensely productive in college and have done a lot in the fourth or fifth round. I'm talking guys like Georgia's Trevor Etienne, who I'm a Louisiana boy, came from the 337. Shout out to all of them. I'm talking about Breshard Smith from SMU, a converted wide receiver to running back. We saw that formula work for Tyrone Tracy and the Giants this year. I think he's going to be a fourth or fifth or sixth round selection who can make a lot of impact. And LaQuint Allen out of Syracuse, a guy who just won games for them. They would put the onus on him to make big plays, such as in the UNLV game, and he would make them time after time, both in the receiving game and in the rushing game. When you can get like multiple guys like that in the fifth or sixth round, I just don't know if it makes sense to take a shot on a Marion Hampton or Travion Henderson or even Ashton Jeanty. I may be on the wrong side of that. I may be on the minority of that, but that's what the data typically will say.
All right, Sam, great stuff. Make sure you check out his work at Sumer Sports, NFL draft analyst. All right, we'll hit you up again after everything shakes out, see what the math looks like and who you think were the winners and losers. Looking forward to it.
Appreciate y'all having me on.
All right. Thanks, Sam, for the time. All right. When we get back, that was really interesting. That was a very granular interview. So I'm going to play some of that back for you a little bit later in the show because he really went in depth in terms of numbers and stats and all that kind of stuff. So that was awesome from Sam. First time I chatted with him. Definitely will be chatting with him again. All right. Coming up next, Frank Schwab is going to join us. He's coming up next. Listen. What does this look like from an NFL perspective? We just got the college perspective, right? And everything that these guys did in college. But how about where do these guys project in the NFL? Who's actually going to be a difference maker? Frank Schwab, one of the best covering the NFL, will join me next here on Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle with you till 10. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.